All right, we'll get back to open phones a little bit later on. If you want to jump in here at 203-333-9422-333-WICC. I usually talk to this gentleman Wednesday afternoons right around 5:15. But hey, I got up early this morning, so I made him do it. Dan Haar, Hearst Connecticut Media, senior editor and columnist. Mr. Haar, good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning. How's it going? I don't think you need traffic every 10 minutes today. It seems like a quiet day out.
Yeah, federal holiday. How about that? Yes, yes, yes. Couple things, Dan. You wrote an interesting piece the other day regarding Danny Hurley, and I get a lot of calls here on the show, and I did last week, and I'm sure I will. Hey, it's Grady's back, but how are they going to pay for this $9, $10, $11 million salary that the governor says he deserves? Talk about what you suggested, because I know other schools do it.
Well, there are three elements, really. It's money that comes from the general appropriation, mm-hmm. which is a million or two a year. There's money that comes from, apparently, I didn't realize this, there's money that comes from arranged promotions, right? Like Nike, I think it's Nike, it's one of those shoe companies, mm-hmm. has a deal with UConn. And as part of that deal, they pay part of the coach's salary. So that's separate and apart from any promotion he may do on his own. And the third piece, of course, the most interesting one, the one I wrote about, is money directly from boosters. And that can come in two forms. One is financial aid generally. Let's say if you and I give, you know, $100 and it all adds up for the UConn Foundation.
Yeah.
And that money can go towards the coach's salary. Or the really interesting one is, I think, and that's what I wrote about, that somebody should endow a chair for Dan Hurley. UConn has 124 endowed chairs or mm-hmm. professorships. And those are the highest level professor. I use an example, the tax expert there, Richard Pomp.
Mm-hmm.
But that's an option. Yale does it. A number of schools do it. I think Harvard does it, but Yale in Connecticut has the endowed professorship for James Jones. It's the Joel Smilo 54 professorship, and so that's what. And these guys are master teachers, so it's really not much of a stretch. You know, Dan Hurley is as much of a professor as anybody else, a professor of basketball.
Yeah, and you and I talked about this, I think, last week, where now the governor has kind of, I don't want to say put his foot in it, but he has said, hey, we're going to make you, he's going to be the highest paid coach. Well, technically, Dan, the governor doesn't have any power with that, but I guess that was a wink and a nod to, as you say, maybe the UConn Foundation and the fundraising, right?
Listen, this is a strong governor. He's a popular governor, this is not a big problem. But in the realm of little problems, he didn't need to say we're going to make him the highest paid coach in America. Because as a matter of fact, the contract paying him $8.33 million a year for 6 years makes him, I think, the third or fourth highest paid. He didn't need to say it. It was a gratuitous statement that didn't help him. And then once he said it, he didn't need to say UConn is on its own. What money? We're not giving money. They're on their own. They have money, right? So it was a unforced error. Again, of very low stakes. He's a popular governor, everyone knows he was basically just expressing his support for Dan Hurley. But words matter, and when he said we are going to make him the most highly paid college basketball coach in America, and then when that didn't happen, you're up 6-1 in the ninth and you make an error.
Don't boot the ground ball up 6-1. The other thing I wanted to touch on with you today, Dan Haar, and the guest is Dan Haar, Hearst Connecticut Media. A little bit of a change, some newfangled stuff with the lottery. What's up with that?
Well, the lottery has rolled out in a soft rollout online lottery ticket purchases. This is the fifth and final piece of the 2021 sports betting and legal and online gambling bill that Lamont eagerly signed in June of 21. The big piece at the time, the big rush, was let's get sports betting done in time for the Super Bowl. And that didn't happen, I think. That did happen in 21, mm-hmm. in 22,
yeah.
for the Super Bowl. But it wasn't in time for the football season opener. But in any case, everybody was thinking and talking about sports betting. And then there was legalized, which was already semi-legal. It was sort of gray area, the fantasy games.
Yeah.
And then you had in-person, online casino games, which the three purveyors do, the two casinos and the lottery itself. That has not gone great for the lottery. And this is a piece that's a fairly significant piece. It's not huge. It's expected to make $15 or $20 million a year. I think it could be more. My column, as you saw, cautioned not against revenues being too low, but revenues being too high. I don't want to see, you don't want to see people just paying state taxes
yeah.
everywhere they go at a stoplight.
Yeah, and Dan, finally, on this thing, was there any blowback from, say, the retailers, the mom and pops, the bodegas, the gas station convenience stores, and saying, you know, hey, it's nice to have the app, but I lose people coming into my stores, or do they really not have any say in that?
You're going to find they don't have any say. I expect you will find that. I didn't go out searching for it. As you know, the first rule of journalism is you can probably, if you want, you can get anybody to say anything.
Yeah.
The question is, have I done the work to go out and find out whether there really is a sort of natural blowback? And the answer is, I don't know yet. But certainly, I know of one person who owns a string of 10 gas stations.
Wow.
I just didn't get a chance to call him yet and see what he says. And so he's sort of one of my bellwether guys. But for now, the issue is getting it off the ground. And the Lottery Corporation, Connecticut Lottery Corporation, has not been a well-run organization, low these past years. And I listed in the column a number of operational problems they've had. And, you know, I'm sorry. Each thing they've had has been the problem here and the problem there and
yeah.
a rogue person there and a system issue there. But when it adds up and when it never stops, you have to say, look, there's two ways to look at it. One is that my being critical and saying it's not a well-run organization. The other is, you know, the reality is they're conducting – what is it? 29 million transactions a year.
Wow.
Right.
That's a lot.
So, yeah, and that's not 29. It's about 17 million transactions a
okay,
year.
Okay, but still.
So it's, at 2,800 locations that they don't own, right? So when you look at it that way, they do have an enormous logistical and systems challenge. But nonetheless, some of the problems, which we don't need to go over now, that have been endemic, we hope will be undone with this new CEO coming in, which he was announced Friday.
Yeah, saw that. Interesting, and I can't wait to hear from your buddy who owns all those convenience stores. Should be interesting. Dan Haar, Hearst, Connecticut Media, editor, senior editor, and columnist. Dan, thank you. Appreciate the time getting up early, and we'll chat down the road. Thank you, sir.
Oh, yes. Have a great day.
You Happy too. Thank you. Dan Haar there. All right. Yeah. How about that? But think about that. So, yeah, you can now. And he said what a soft launch is. There's been no grand unveiling. But, you know, think about that. Is there going to be blowback from, you know, the bodegas, the mom and pops, the convenience stores? You never know.